Let's say amen this morning.
If you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're my personal VIP. It means you're a very important person to me and this family here. We love you. Most important thing we all have is our souls. And to be saved, we must believe that this book's right, called the Bible. Y'all agree with that? And I believe it's right. All of it's right. And when one wants to be saved, they will believe in a Jesus who was on a cross in Jerusalem for 6 long hours. He would suffer there. And you never saw that with your eyes. Because this book tells us about that, I believe with all of my heart. I believe he died. Do y'all believe he died? Yeah, we never saw that with our faith coming by hearing. Our belief is established by this word, this book we call the Bible. B-I-B-L-E. Yeah. And they took him down off the cross and buried him in a tomb. And he resurrected on the first day of the week. That's why we worship on Sundays. He got up from the grave. With all power, gave the command to men and women, boys and girls must understand and believe. And we must believe that good news of the gospel, that power was in the blood of Jesus. And that blood washed your sins away in baptism, for we all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. Is that right? But you can be buried in that watery grave of baptism with Christ and rise to walk in newness of life, born again and regenerated, an heir of God and joint heir of Jesus Christ. Didn't the Lord would add you to the only church in the Bible? That is the Church of Christ. So appreciate those who are here with us in place, in the place of worship, and those who are online, be a conference call or YouTube or Facebook, we welcome you as well. We appreciate you being here with us. Today is what man calls Father's Day. Amen? Amen. Yeah, so happy Father's Day to all those men who are fathers. And if you peel the onion back and many family problems, you peel the onion back and get down to the bottom. If you got a good dad in the house, you got a good foundation. Many of our young boys have gone astray because daddy wasn't there for them. Amen. But you know what? I always tell people the story of my daughter. I had a child out of wedlock, and I was 15 when she was conceived, and 16 when she was born. And she didn't live with me. I didn't take care of my child. She was mine because my mama told me, and she saw it. I said, "Mama, that's not my baby." She said, "Shut up. Look just like your little manis." Yeah. And that my mama about this short, but I didn't talk back to her. I guarantee. She told me to shut up. Guess what I done? I shut up. I was denying it. I was a teenager, and I was lying, and I wasn't telling the truth. And somebody said, "Brother Brooke, yeah, that's the truth." Now, when I got baptized, I got washed all that away. Now, don't worry about that. Don't you worry about that. I went ahead and got washed. I washed it away, yeah. But anyway, she came. She called me when she was 18, leaving her mama's house. And she was out there in the world, and she wanted to come stay with me. My opportunity to make up some things, you know. So she came to live with me, and some of you know the story, but I always tell it, especially on Father's Day. Yeah, and so, well, anyway, I gave her the rules of the house, you know. You be back in by midnight. That's what they go out. How many of y'all had them kind of rules in your house? Yeah, you know. Yeah, that's why they don't want to live with me now. They still got to follow them rules. Come to my house. Yeah, rules in my house. Yeah, best thing to do is get your own house. They were. And your own light bill, pay it. And your AC.
There you go.
Yeah, and get your own car. And you stay in your house. Now, stay in mine. You ain't worried about my rule. But you come to my shelter, guess what? Everybody. Well, anyway, she came and she decided she's going to violate the rule one night. Come in after midnight, about 1 o'clock. I let her get settled in real good in her bed. And she had shut the door. But boy, I went to that door and I hit that door with my fist. Boom, boom. She jumped straight up out of bed. I opened her. What did I tell you? She jumped. Look, be in between. I thought, I meant it. And I meant that then, and I mean it now. Don't you ever again come in here after 12 o'clock. Well, years later, on Father's Day, I got this plaque. It said, "Best Dad plaque." Yeah. See, now I got my plaque from that girl because she said, "The night you came in there and busted in there
And I said, "This is my daddy." yeah, that's who I am, your daddy. You don't get too old. Nah, you 18, but you still, if I'm going to be daddy, you gonna understand. But I got my, how many of y'all dads got a plaque? I got my best dad plaque. Yeah. You better get, if you straighten up Mac right, you might get you a best dad plaque. Is that right? Yeah, well, anyway, that's a good story for Father's Day, isn't it? Good men. Men take care of your children. Amen. Let's go to a party this morning. How about that? I mean, some of y'all went last night. I ain't talking about that one. I'm talking about the one this morning. Let's go to another party in the Bible. Let's go to the Bible. Daniel chapter 5. The handwriting on the wall is the name of this lesson, and I think you'll enjoy it if you pay along. Now, this character here, Belshazzar, is the son of King Nebuchadnezzar. You know, last week we learned about the father who got cut down from a tree to a stump. Y'all remember that? If you didn't get, go back and get it's on our website. Everything's on our website. All the things we preach are on our website. My books are on our website. Go on there and get some of those, some of that good teaching. I'll be referring to those books a lot. And I've been told by the person who helped me write it, I don't say enough about my books, so I'm going to start saying my books. I'm not trying to promote myself, but I think it's good material. People need to learn from the book of Ecclesiastes and James and Man in the Mirror. You look at those books. Go on our website, and you can get you some books for personal study. But some of the things I'll be saying are coming from those excerpts from those that are writing. In this case, Belshazzar should have learned from his dad. If he'd have looked in the mirror, if he'd have looked in there, he'd have learned some things from his dad, but he didn't. So in Daniel chapter 5, in verse 1, let's go there, and he says, Belshazzar,
the king made a great feast to the thousands of his lord. And drank wine before the thousands.
Now, what he's doing, he's bringing in all the chief guys in his organization. So he's going to have a big party with him and the boss men. You know, the thousand of lords, that's all the upper ranking guys in his kingdom. And this is a big party. Thousands of people there. Great party. Eat and drink and be merry. Y'all know about that, don't you? Mm-hmm. It sounds like parties today. Not much has changed. A lot of people, a lot of alcohol. Amen.
Amen.
A lot of drinking going on in this party. How many of y'all had a shot last night? I mean, I'll keep going back to what y'all doing. I'm talking about the party in the Bible. Some of y'all probably had a hit last night, didn't you? I mean, if y'all had, raise your hand if you took your shot. You ain't going to do that, are you? You don't want to, you ain't going to tell on yourself. You know all these Christians got this, you got a little something in your refrigerator. You know I'm talking about you. Some of y'all, you Christians, think we don't know. You think we don't know what's going on, you know. Yeah, you got a little wine for your stomach's sake. That's what you say? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yep. Some people say somebody honest in the room. Now I ain't gonna look at them. They say, yep. Yeah. Now they put out some new stuff. I'm trying to remember. When I was growing up with Pabst Blue Ribbon. Pabst Blue Ribbon, Lone Star. Yeah. Kirby's starting to say, oh, they're like, he's thinking about drinking some. How many of y'all, what's that new beer they came out with?
Yeah, okay.
Nobody gonna help me. My reader ought to be the one help me. He got nobody gonna help. What about the new wine? Now, when I was growing up, it was Thunderbird. What's the word? Thunderbird. What's the price? 50 twice. How many of y'all got some Thunderbird? Well, they don't make Thunderbird no more, do they? Well, ain't nobody in this church gonna help me today. I guess I'm about to just guess about everything. Anyway, but we use alcohol for, get Proverbs chapter 20. Let me just address that real quick here. But it seemed like even in sporting events, you know, alcohol is promoted. Everything we go to, company parties, some of you, you know, going to come. When I was in the work world, everything, alcohol was always there at those parties and those company parties. But And even in religious organizations, particularly the Catholic Church, the priest drinks along with them. They have big parties at their fellowship. And some of y'all don't go run over there because you want to drink. You better remember your soul got to be saved. Yeah, but if you want a church that you allow you to drink and do all that, they do that. They do that. But the Bible says in Proverbs 20 in verse 1, the Bible said wine is a mocker.
Strong drink is raging.
And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. This is not a wise person. So wine is a mocker. It's fragrance. You know, it smells good. But the intoxicants of it is by strength. Now I know y'all said, well, Jesus turned water to, I know, you know, you don't read about nobody being drunk at the time he did it, did you? Nah, you don't read none of that. You know, there was a time when wine was used for medicinal purposes, meaning as medication. Well, would take a little wine for your stomach, see, because they had it. Now you got some Maalox. You don't have to get no wine. You just get some Maalox or what you need, Tums or whatever for your stomach's sake. Right?
That's right.
Now I know some folk gonna ask, and Brother Brooke, now, it ain't nothing wrong with a little, one glass of wine at night sitting down at the table with some dinner. And I know that's going through your head right now. Both of y'all got a whole archive of it at home, but I would just ask y'all a question. I'm gonna ask y'all one question. Now, this is a can of Budweiser. And this is my Bible. Now, how many of y'all want me to preach? And how many of y'all are going to listen to me? Now, I didn't drink it. I'm not drinking it, but it's sitting right here by my Bible. How many of you are going to give thought to what kind of preacher you're listening to? I can't hear you. You know that wouldn't be right, would it, for me to put a can of beer up here on this stage, would it? How about a glass of wine right by this book? Why? Because the world doesn't view that as godly. That's why. So when you sit down and have that glass with your children in the privacy of your home, remember, you're setting an example that's ungodly. Now, that's called the law of expediency. You don't have to say, now put a can of beer on the pulpit by your Bible. I don't have no thou shalt not for that. But I do have to live in a way where I present godly representation, and alcohol does not present, in this world we live in, godliness is not associated with wine and drinking. Amen. So that's the end of that. Now, so social drinking is not wise. You walk in, your Brother Brooks, you walk in to me, and I'm sitting at a restaurant, big glass of beer. I'm not drunk, but you wouldn't think much of me then. As you know, I would tell the truth, say amen, and shame the devil. You want to see me go into a liquor store to buy a bag of potato chips? I didn't get no alcohol, no wine, no whiskey, but you saw Brother Brooks go into the liquor store. What would you say about me? Wouldn't you call your gossiping friend? I mean, your... Y'all see, now y'all got me meddling this morning. Yeah, and you know you sisters who call each other. You don't talk about everything. You're going to go home, talk about what I said, and you're going to call them and say, now you do, did you hear? You know Brother Brooks? You say, I saw Brother Brooks at the liquor store buying liquor. You ain't see me buy nothing. I had potato chips. But because you used to gossiping and spreading lies and rumors, it appeared that I was doing it. So the appearance of evil was there, wasn't it? So just consider that every time you decide you're going to take your drink. Who are you influencing? And now I'm going to tell you this other thing about this, is that one typically leads to two, and two typically leads to three. And the first one got you a little buzzed already, right? How many of y'all know one glass can get you buzzed? Say amen if you got it. I mean, if you did it. You got that, right? Y'all get it. So I'll spend a little time on alcohol, because social drinking should not be the life of a Christian. Now, I done said it, and you're going to do whatever you want to do anyway. But you can't say Brother Brooks said it was okay. And you can take your counsel from anybody you want. And people do that. They'll call another. Well, Brother Brooks said, and that's Brother Brooks did say it, and you need to come straight to me, and I'll say it again to you. Or you can go to someone else that'll tell you what you want to hear, because there are preachers out there who believe in social drinking. But I'm not one of them. Get it? That's it. So, there's no sense in talking about going back and forth over that. That's where I am on it, and I'm going to hang right there. I think my hat is on a good spot.
Now listen to what Solomon said in Proverbs 20:23, and then we're going to go to the party. Listen to what he said. Verse 29. Who had woe? Who had sorrow? Who had contentions? Who had babbling? Who had wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? You going to read with me or not?
I missed the scripture, brother. I'm sorry.
I just thought maybe you didn't want to help me. Proverbs 23:29. Everybody there? Now, he's basically saying people with sorrow and contention, waking up with their head, babble all in. They throw a babbling running off at the mouth. Got wounds. Somebody done hurt them. They don't know what happened the next day. So, man, how did I get that? That something was wrong with them. And what the Bible says here in verse number 30, that they tarry long at what?
At
the wine. There it is.
They will go to seek mixed wine.
They using that mixed drink. I mean, you got wine, you have a mixed drink, and they got some good ones out there, don't they? Huh? The mixed drink. It used to be daiquiris and martinis and Jack and Coke. And, I ain't got no help this morning. Everybody quiet. These brother fronts, they ain't just looking at me like, I ain't saying nothing. You ain't gonna bust me out in here. I know what my favorite is. Crown Royal, that's the one it is. With some, what they call that? Club soda. I said, brother, how you know? Oh, man, you gotta stick your head in the sand not to know this stuff around here. It's all over the place, isn't it?
That's right.
That was the time when I sipped on it. I just going to tell you the truth. Amen. Now, I just told y'all I had a child out of wedlock. I told you I used to drink. Amen. So what that tell you about me? That I believe in forgiveness of sin. I thank God that I was forgiven. Amen. And so can you. That's the good news of the gospel, right? But he said, they tarry along, they go to get the mixed drink. Look not upon the wine when it's red, it'll give its color and cup when it moves itself aright. At last it bite like a serpent.
Sting it like an adder.
I shall behold strange women.
And thine heart shall utter perverse things.
Man, that stuff started biting like a serpent, got you looking at women. Heart started thinking about stuff it ought not be thinking about. Yeah, thou shalt
be as he lie down in the midst of the sea,
lie down
and he that lieth upon the top of the man.
That's seasickness now. And they that have stricken me, shall thou say, and I was not sick. They that have beaten me, and I felt it not. When I shall wake, I was sick again. That's what a drunk does. He don't know what happened the night before, and as soon as he get up, he start back at it again. And so that's what the Bible. Now, the Bible doesn't promote drinking. Y'all got that point, don't you? And you know, that's kind of the first point of the whole story. Now, let's go back and see what it did to this man. And Daniel chapter 5, verse 2. Take that water down, because that's not beer. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and the silver vessels, I'm in verse 2,
which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wife, and his concubines might drink
therein. Now look at
that.
At Belshazzar, he got the women there, he got men, they're drinking, and lots of sin involved in parties. A lot of fornication, lasciviousness, looking on, you know, they start moving and stuff. That men get in them party, they start looking how a woman moves. Yeah, get attracted to them and things like that. That's why you go to them clubs and things, and because a lot of sin involved lead to adultery and drunkenness and fornication and all that type of stuff. That's why Christians shouldn't be found in no club party. There's some sin in there. Mr. Brother Brooks, I go to the casino. I just go down there to pull that level. There ain't no sin in there. Well, you know, all kind of sins in the casino. All kind of sins going on in there. But in this case, it's a party, and so a lot of things going on. Belshazzar's starting to feel pretty good, Belshazzar. You see how he's feeling good? He said, let's go get some vessels from the house of God. Now, that's a mistake right there. The wine made him a little bolder than he needed to be. See, sometimes that's why, you get drunk. You see people get drunk, they get bolder when they want to talk back to the police. Next thing you know, they're all in handcuffs and locked up. Where if he was using good sense, he'd have been yes sir, no sir, and went on home. But he got to go to jail because he got to run in his mind because he was intoxicated. He wasn't sober-minded. And then he says in verse number 3, they then bought they the golden vessels and were, vessels, taken, out
they were taken out of the temple of the house of God,
see,
which was
the vessels
at
he
Jerusalem.
Went and got came out of God's house in Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, everybody followed the leader. Be careful who you follow. They're following the leader here, and you be careful who you follow. Everybody is not trying to get to heaven. Amen, Wall. Everybody's not trying to get there. Be careful who you take your advice from. If everybody at this party is being headed down the road of the story, he done turned all of them against God. Notice what he said. They drank wine. Notice what they are doing. Praising the God of gold.
And the
silver, and brass, of iron, wood,
and of stone.
And stone. And then here it come, in the same hour, came
fingers
here's the handwriting on the wall. This is what the name of my sermon is. Your finger come. Start writing on that wall. Wrote against the candlestick
upon the plaster
of the wall of
the
king's
wall
palace.
And the king's palace, and the king saw
king
the part
saw.
Of the hand.
Belshazzar saw the hand. Now you think about you at a party, you're already feeling pretty good, and all of a sudden a big hand show up. I mean, I had to start getting some attention, wasn't it?
Amen.
A man's hand come out of nowhere and start writing on the wall. That's what he's seeing. Belshazzar is shook up. Amen. He shook up now. He's all messed up in there. He poured and he got bowl and when got God's the cups out of the temple of God and started drinking wine, including God in his party. And then they started worshiping other gods, silver, iron, wood, and stone. But when God come on the scene, it doesn't matter where you're at, you're going to know something is different. When God came on the scene, because God was getting ready to deal with Belshazzar. And the Bible said, then the king's
countenance was changed.
He worried now. His countenance changed.
His
thoughts troubled.
So that his joints of his loins were loose.
His knees smote one another. Can you see he's shaking right now? He shook up. He don't know what this hand means. He's scared. He's changing colors. His knees are trembling. It's time to put down the drink. Turn on the lights. Party's over.
I know that's right.
Yeah, baby, not turn off the light. He wanted to turn on the light. Something done happened. Trouble done come to this party. This is a message from God that he can't read the handwriting on the wall. And the application to us is this, is that all of us understand that when it comes to our souls, the handwriting is on the wall.
Amen.
It's on the wall already. I remember trouble comes. You know, when you start hearing gunshots, in today's world, we know folk are using guns to shoot people. When I was growing up, I was a young teenager. I was at what we call a record hop. How many of y'all go to record hops? You remember they had a DJ. Clarence went to him. How many of y'all went to record hop? John Bell, he know what record hop be. Actually, you don't know. Even him, Pill. We had record hop. We had little DJs. Yeah, they thought they were DJs. They been doing them with playing records. And we would be dancing. Boy, we getting down. Doing the bump. Y'all know about the bump? I can't do it up here. They say I'm praise dancing these days. But can't do the bump. We used to do the bump, sister. I don't know if y'all did in y'all generation. Y'all know what the bump is? I mean, y'all know what the bump is. Yeah, okay, all right. Now, I ain't by myself.
No.
You know we did them strobe like getting on and that alcohol kick in. You get the bumping and looking and bumping. Amen. Well, one night I was bumping down in Shamrock. Boy, we had a big a cafe. They had an old shack building down deep in the field. And that's where everybody would go, where they could go to the record house. Boy, we were partying. We was drinking and partying, playing James Brown and all them kind of guys, and just getting down, you know, doing the good. And then all of a sudden, boy, we hear it pop, pop, pop. And when we hear it pop, 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 everybody went pop, pop, pop. You know what I mean? Everybody started scattering because there was a gunshot. I'm one of them. I'm running just as hard as I can to get to my car. And amen. When I got to my car, I got in my car, and I left that place. Somebody died that night. I shouldn't have never been there in the first place. Yeah, but I could have got killed right there. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I got out of that place. And so, you know, in parties, you're going to have folk in there with guns and things like that. But anyway, that's a little bit about, so I understood then that you could get killed at a place like that. And look at verse 7.
The king cried aloud
to bring the
astrologers, the Chaldeans, mm-hmm. the soothsayers.
Yeah.
The king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon,
uh-huh.
whosoever shall read this writing and shew me the interpretation thereof, shall be clothed with scarlet, have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom.
Yeah, read.
Then came in all of the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was the king Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished.
He really bothered about his hand. Everything done changed at this point. This man is scared. He's afraid. They don't know what does this mean. And so he tried to get everybody in there, and then listen to what happened. He's in trouble. He can't understand the handwriting on the wall. I'm saying here, the application here, many people today listening to me are in trouble because they're not listening to the handwriting on the wall. Y'all understand where I'm going with it, right? The handwriting is this. The word of God is on that wall. That message is from God. On your wall, in your mirror, is a message. Look in the mirror, and you'll see a message from God. This is the mirror I'm talking about. There's a message. Now, are we listening to the message? Listen what happens here.
Now the queen, by reason of the words, and the king and his lords came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king,
live
forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed.
So she's trying to help him out. Don't be all troubled. I know some. There is a man, he said.
There is a man in thy kingdom.
In thy kingdom.
In whom is the spirit of the Holy God.
Now, here's the first point I want to make from that verb. The man she referred to is not at the party. First point of reference. So the man she's talking about is Daniel, who served the God of heaven. But Daniel ain't at this party. Y'all got me? Which representation to me is that all of us who say we're children of God shouldn't be at the party when the trouble starts.
Amen.
Amen. And then he said,
and in the days of thy father light.
Now, this goes back to your daddy.
And understand.
He did some of the same stuff you doing. And God had to take him up and bring him back down. Amen.
Amen.
See, what happens here, he says, in the days of your father, light and understanding wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods was found in him. Your daddy used to do what you're doing. In whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. He tried the same thing. Remember last week? And then he says,
for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting
dreams
and showing of hard sentences and the dissolving of doubt were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar.
Belshazzar was the king. Now, this Belteshazzar, not the same name, because this is the name that was given to Daniel by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, he says, let Daniel be called.
He will show you the interpretation.
So Daniel can do it. And then he said, then Daniel was brought before the king.
And the king spake unto Daniel. And said unto Daniel,
what did he say?
Which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Judah.
You that Daniel, that my daddy helped out of Judah, He said, I have heard of thee. The spirit of God is in thee.
And that light,
understanding, excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, astrologers, have been brought in before me. Then he says that they should read what?
This writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof,
now,
but they
said,
could not shew the
guy.
Interpretation of the thing.
Now, verse 16 said, now I heard of thee.
That thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shall be the third
ruler Daniel.
Of the kingdom.
He gonna test him. You're putting a test to him. Says, see, can he be bought? See, some preachers can be bought to tell you whatever you want to hear. Amen. I happen not to be one of those guys. That's why a lot of people can't really handle what some of the stuff I say and do when it comes to my position on things. So what do you? There was a story of a man, two brothers who were they were bad actors. They was in a small town. They were womanizers. They stole and. And they did all kind of things. They were dishonest in their business. And the two brothers, both of them very wealthy, the younger brother died. And so the elder brother went to the local preacher with the church and told him, said, now I want you to do my brother's funeral. And when you do my brother's funeral, I want you to say, tell the people that he was a saint. I need you to do that. She said, man, now, the priest said, now, hold on. Now, I can't tell them folk that. You know he wasn't no saint. He said, sir, I'm going to donate $100,000 to your church if you just tell these people my brother was a saint. That preacher got to think about that $100,000. Boy, he said, man, got the day, what I'm going to do? He got to the funeral that day. He stood up and get ready to start preaching. He said, ladies and gentlemen, friends, everybody here know that this deceased was a whoremonger, a womanizer. Y'all know he was a drunk. He cheated on his taxes and cheated people out of their money. But I want to say this. Compared to his brother, he was a saint. That brother got that saint in there some kind of way. That brother, all he could think about $100,000. But he said, man, compared to his brother, he was a saint. He got his money. Yeah, but anyway, that Daniel, a man of God who's going to stick with the word of God, they're not going to be bought out, you know. Not going to be bought out by anyone. That's my point. But then and Daniel answered and said before the king, he tells you, keep your gifts.
And I don't want give thy rewards to another.
Yeah.
Yet I will read.
I'm gonna tell you what God has said, but you can't buy me to tell me what you want to do. I'm gonna tell you what he said. And you know, all of us in the Lord's church ought to take that position. That you know, it is about saving souls. We must stand on what's right. Amen. Stand on truth. I still am a believer in the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, and the pattern of the New Testament. I still believe that's the right order. I still believe that we ought to worship like the apostles worship. Amen. Without the help of mechanical instruments of music, or praise dancing and praise, amen, some the beatboxing and the mic. I am still, they call me old school Church of Christ. I call it scriptural. I ain't liberal where you can do whatever you want to do. I don't stand with the conservatives. But I stand anytime you stand scriptural, you can't go wrong. Show me where they did it in the New Testament, and we'll do it.
Amen.
But until then, and I'm going to warn the members of the Church of Christ who sat under that worship service, that the blind leads the blind. Both. At the point I start teaching false doctrine, move. You can't do that. Somebody need to get me out of here. Or you get out. You don't go alone to get along.
Amen.
When it comes to your soul. Some of these guys out here just want folk to have a big party in worship. Look like the day of Pentecost. Amen. I know I'm not popular among Church of Christ right now. They want the progressive want us to go along with this. I'm not doing it. I had a senior guy came to me, said, Brother Brooks, are you holding that position? You know, we got a right to worship like we want to worship. You got a right to do whatever you want to do. And I have a right to preach it just like I believe it.
Amen.
Amen. That's what I'm going to do. What surprises me is that these are people 30 years ago, when I came in 36 years ago, when I came into Church of Christ, they didn't believe in that kind of stuff. But I said to this brother, whom I respected, I said, Brother, either I was taught wrong by y'all 36 years ago, or y'all teaching something wrong now. But I haven't changed. Hey, Kirby, no. We were that Fifth Ward together. What we were taught by Bob Adams and Benson Smith was to follow the two posts, Tom Foster, the New Testament pattern of worship. That's what we follow. That has not changed.
No, sir.
Men have changed. We never referred to preachers as anything other than a brother, never a doctor, never did we do that. And I won't do it here. If he come preaching, he's a brother. That's what Jesus said. You're all brethren. Bible says them flattering titles shouldn't be given to us.
That's right.
If Jesus said brother was enough, then brother ought to be
good enough.
Say it with me now. Yeah, so anyway, what are you saying, brother? I'm telling you all, you can't be bought. Not if you're going to do what I'm doing. To the young preachers, you got to believe what you preach. And it applies to you before it applies to the people listening to you. Every time I study, I get whooped by the scripture. I have to take it first. And I'm going to come back and drop it on you. But I got to take it my medicine myself. And that's what Belshazzar didn't do. He didn't learn from his daddy. Look what he says, thou king, the most high God.
Gave Nebuchadnezzar
thy father kingdom, majesty, and glory, and honor. And for the majesty gave him all people, nations, languages, trembled and feared before him. Whom he would slew, whom he would kept alive, whom he would set up, and whom he would put down.
But when his heart was lifted up,
Nebuchadnezzar's heart was lifted, his mind hardened in pride. That's the key thing. The reason God cut him down last week in our study from a tree to a stump, because he had this problem. Now, what happened? He was disposed. The kingly throne took glory from him. Verse 21.
And he was driven from the sons of men.
And
his heart was made like the beast.
His
dwelling was the wild asses.
They
fed
him
with grass like oxen.
The body
was wet with the dew of the heaven. Till he knew
that the
Most High God ruled
in his
kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will.
God, Belshazzar he told Belshazzar that God gave your dad everything he needed to have a great kingdom. But he got lifted up in pride, he had to bring him back down. So let me make that application toward us. You know, how many of y'all know who gave you your job? How many of you know who turns the breath on to your body? How many of us done forgot that God is in control of life and death? Amen. And when you know who's in control, then you put God first. Amen. So some of you don't put him first. You get your communion and you feel like you've served the Lord. But you don't serve him and you don't give right because you forgot you ain't on that job because you good. You on that job because God was good. And if you know God is good, then you don't have no problem putting something back in the plate other than that dollar you bottling up and putting it like a popcorn. Yeah. So when we get being high-minded, pride just means you don't realize when we don't give God the glory and praise and understand who's in control of our life, we seek ye first, brothers and sisters, the kingdom. What are we to put first? Who are we to put first?
God.
What are we to put first? His kingdom and his righteousness. This is what we do as Christians. Amen. But he done got out of himself. No, what happened? And this son, you done just like your dad. That's what I'm saying to some of these fathers. Some of your boys look just like you. Yeah, because that's what they saw. How many of you can say your son look like you? Don't drop your head. Just try to be a better father. Amen, somebody. We all done messed up. I mean, you can't, ain't a child living can't say something that daddy and mama didn't do right. If we're honest, we're going to make some mistakes.
Amen.
Amen. But you can be a better dad than you've been. Amen, somebody. You can learn from your mistake. But let me get this closed out. I know that's what we need to do. He said, but have lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven.
And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee.
Here's the mistakes you made, man. You brought the vessels of the house before thee.
And thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine.
You drunk wine in them vessels.
And thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold and of brass and iron, of wood and of stone.
Which can't,
and we see not.
They can't see.
Nor
they can't hear.
Nor know.
They don't
and
know
the
anything.
In whose hands thy breath
and
is.
And see that he said, they don't. But you don't know whose hand your breath is in. Remember last week we were talking about that stump. But see, there's a time when God said, ain't going to be no stump no more. Well, Jay's off to learn a lesson here. You done forgot who turned on your breath. See, that's why I said, you know, I've been saying this quite a bit since after the pandemic. You know, I really ain't for a bunch of foolishness and mess. Because, you know, devil involved in stuff like that. You got to remember that, boy. When you start involving people with that are messy, that's devilish stuff going on. It's something, devil got his hand in this man. See, God is a God of peace, love, and happiness, and joy. He's not a God full of a bunch of stuff going on. So what are you saying, Brother Brooke? We all better remember that God turned breath on. And God can turn the breath off. He said, what are you saying, brother? Look what happens here. Then the part of the hand sent to him
this writing was written. This writing was written.
And this is the writing that was written.
And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Tekel, and Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it.
Now he's telling you, here's what he means. God done numbered your kingdom and finished it.
Number two, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting.
He considered you, your situation. You've been weighed and you found wanting. In other words, you are guilty, buddy.
Perez, kingdom is divided.
I'm going to divide your kingdom.
And given to the
Medes and Persians. He's going to give it to the Medes and Persians. So basically, he just told him, God done numbered your kingdom. You finished. You found guilty because you shouldn't have done what you just did. And number three, I'm gonna divide this up and give it to somebody else. Now, y'all know that when you die, you can die and leave everything to a fool. Do you know that? See, when you put that car and a house and all that stuff before God, and he turned that breath off, what do you think the family remaining living folk going to be thinking about? Huh? They want to know, where is the will? Who get the car? Who going to get the house? Who going to get the money? Amen. You know, like when I write in the book Ecclesiastes, I talk about how the very people that when you leave your house, your shoe, somebody else is going to find out, man, Brooks has some nice shoes. Ooh, I love them. Somebody else putting on your shoe, driving your car, sleeping with your wife. Ain't nothing you can do about it. What are you saying, brother? After he turned the breath off, there's nothing this world offers us that we can come back and enjoy. So Belshazzar, it's too late to call the priest. You called Daniel, but the handwriting was already on the wall.
Amen.
See, and that's what happens in today's world. People want to live any kind of way they want to live. Amen. They want to live any kind, do whatever they want to do. And then when they get on their deathbed, they want to call a preacher and say, can you help me get to heaven? And the preachers that can be paid will tell them, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. What I want you to do is repeat after me a sinner's prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner, come into my heart. You're saved now. That's a lie. That ain't in the book. That handwriting didn't come from God. That came from some man. The man of God gonna tell you must be born again of the water of the Spirit. But to obey the gospel. They head down the road. Now look what happened at Belshazzar in that night.
Was Belshazzar, the king of Chaldeans, slain?
He died.
And Darius and Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old.
62. Y'all see what happened to him? Y'all see what happened? Everybody can wake up now. I'm at the close. What happened to this guy? He went to the party. He got drunk. And everybody with him was drunk. And they started serving other gods. And God said, that's enough. The handwriting is on the wall in the lives of people. He has written on your wall. But what is the interpretation of the handwriting? Do we have 100 years left? Do you have 10 years left? Do we have 50 years left? Do you have 20 years left? Do you have 5 years, 5 days, or 1 day? That's the handwriting. And what the Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians, as I close, in chapter 5 and verse 6, 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, they that be drunken are drunken in the night, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of what? Faith, love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. What the message I'm giving you is, brother and sister, is each this message to me as much as it is to you. We may not be getting intoxicated with alcohol and beer and all that kind of stuff, but some of us are so drunk on the world. We drunk on our jobs. We drunk on going to work. We drunk on getting a bigger house. We drunk on more cars. We drunk, we want more money, and we're putting everything before God. And I'm standing up here today that God done wrote on your wall. He done wrote on my wall, but he's also telling us, as long as you live, you got a chance.
Amen.
And you can stop that. You can stop being drunk when it comes to your soul. Put on your helmet of salvation. Get baptized for the remission of your sins. Get in the church you can read about in the Bible. Take the Lord's Supper every Sunday and start waving, and then start praising God with all your lips. The fruits of your lips, you let him know, God, I'm glad, I'm thankful. I know I ain't all that. I've fallen. You can be a prodigal, but you can come home. Yeah. Amen, somebody. You can be somebody, say, brother, brother, I'm here today. What is the writing? You ask God what the writing is. But he tells me it's appointed unto man. Once. Somebody say, I died and I came back to tell you about it. He lying. Lying, you ain't died. That was just that light. So I saw a white light. That was an ambulance. On the operating table or something. But you ain't been nowhere yet.
Amen.
Yeah, as soon as you cross over, there's no return to this life. It's like water spilt on the ground. You can't get it up. That's what the book say. And what death is. Ain't nobody die. When God turned it off, it's over. It's over. So the handwriting on all of us is this. That we all got a day appointed, and we all got to understand, as God can say at any point, like he did Belshazzar, this thing is over. You've been weighed in the balance. I gave you a chance to repent, gave you a chance to hear Brooks. He told you you had to believe my son died on the cross. He told you you had to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. He told you they took my son off the cross after they beat him, that they buried him in Barry tomb. Brooks told you that my son rose with all power. And he got up from that grave today. He's up today, and because he lives, we can face tomorrow. I'm telling you, because he lives, there's a hope of salvation.
Amen.
And that's the good news of the message. The handwriting on the wall is there's hope as long as we obey God. Am I right about that thing? Yeah, you got to believe it with all of your heart to be saved. You got to repent of your sins, confess him to be the Son of God. Then when you're baptized in water for the remission of sin, the baptism pool is ready. That's if you want to be saved. But whether you want to be saved or not, you've been weighed in the balance. And God will make the final decision. Why wouldn't you this morning make a decision and come to the Lord? How you do that, brother? Come down, walk down the aisle. We'll baptize you. Just hit 5-star on your phone if you're on our conference line. Or if you're on YouTube, Facebook, go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. We will help you become a Christian, because it may be that this is the last sermon on your wall. This is the last one he's going to hear. We don't know. But you can't say you didn't know you had to be baptized for the remission of sins. That's in Acts 2:38. That's on the wall. 1 Peter 3:21 says baptism does save you. That's on the wall. Ephesians 4:4 says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. That's on the wall. Romans 16:16, salute one another, holy kiss. The church of the Christ salute you. That's God's handwriting on the wall. The book of Jude, he said, the day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's on the wall. That's on the wall. But what's on the wall when it comes to your life? Only God can answer that day. But when he calls, it's yours to answer. Is that right, you all? If you're here today and you want to come to the Lord, what I want you to do, if you want to come to the Lord, come to the front. If you want to come to the Lord, you want to make a confession, you can come to the front stairs, stay right where you are. You can make a confession, get your life right. You don't know what's on the wall. I'll tell you what we all should be doing is asking God for some more time. Lord, give us time. Bless us, Lord. Bless us. Please, Lord, be long-suffering with us. Amen, y'all. Amen. You need to come this morning, be born again. If you need prayer, come. If we can assist you in your salvation and understanding what you need to do, make sure you come. Come on, as we gather, stand and sing a song of encouragement.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
Come home.
Come home. Come home. Yeah, you are weary. Come home.
To the Lord
earnestly,
today.
Tenderly,
Jesus is calling.
Jesus, calling.
Jesus is calling. Calling.
Calling. All sinners.
Come home.
Come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading? Pleading for you and for me. Should we linger and heed not his mercy? Mercy for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling all sinners. Come.